الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, فنحمد الله على نعمه الكثيرة. We praise Allah for His numerous blessings. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make these sittings a proof for us, not against us on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allahumma la sum'a wa la riya'. We continue inshaAllah with the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have reached a section, we said, we covered the first and second year and third year of the hijrah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for the fourth year, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah, he said, and this is referring to after the battle of Uhud, which occurred in the third year, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah said, تواعد المسلمون والمشركون فيها في بدر. On the fourth year hijriyah, the Muslims and the polytheists, they promised to meet at Badr. So Badr occurred, the battle of Badr occurred in the second year Hijriyah. And the third year Hijriyah was the battle of Uhud. But in the fourth year Hijriyah, they both agreed to meet at Badr. Na'am. And so the Muslims went out at Badr. As, يعني, to fulfill the promise that they set. But the polytheists did not come. وَتَخَلَّفَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ مُعْتَدِرِينَ and excused. Is they said this is a year, a difficult year in terms of drought, in terms of rain and so on, and difficulty as well in terms of livelihood. That year was a difficult year. They said a year, sana muzdiba. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed the verse in the Quran in Surah Al Imran, verse 174, فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وفضل لم يمسسهم سوء واتبعوا رضوان الله والله ذو فضل عظيم. And this is referring to the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the believers, that Allah considered it, or Allah mentioned it as being a victory for the believers, that they came out as a fulfillment of their promise, but the polytheists did not come out. The believers went out following the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the possessor of all fadl that is great. All blessings that are great. So alhamdulillah, Allah considered that to be, Allah mentioned that as being, as a blessing from Him. That was the fourth year Hijriyah. And the fifth year Hijriyah was the Ghazwat al-Khandaq, the battle of the trench. اتفق أهل الحجاز وأهل نجد وظاهرهم بنو قريظة من اليهود على غزو النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. This was a year where the people of Hijaz and the people of Najd, Hijaz being the peninsula of Medina, Mecca, that area, and Najd being what is currently known as Qasim, Riyadh, that area. And they gathered, or they wanted to gather against the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with the Jews of Medina, Banu Qurayza, who initially they had a treaty with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Jews of Medina, to defend Medina from any outsiders or anyone coming to attack Medina. But they went against that treaty with the Muslims, and they sided with Ahl Hijaz and Ahl Najd to fight the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they gathered what they gathered from their junud, from their soldiers, and the number was so great, about 10,000. Shaykh Sa'di rahimahullah mentions فَاجْتَمَعَ نَحْوَ عَشْرَةَ آلَافٍ مَقَاتِلٍ وَقَصَدُوا الْمَدِينَةَ. They intended to come to Medina. So when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard about them, he was advised And some of the books of Sirah mentioned that this was an advice from Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, that to dig a trench. Because it wasn't known, this art of battle, of war, wasn't known to the Arabs, to build a trench in order to protect them, you know, the Muslims, and make it difficult for the enemies who come in to attack them. So they built it, they began to dig the trench. وَخَرَجَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ نَحْوَ الْخَنْدَقِ. So they went towards Khandaq and they began to dig the trench. وَجَاءَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ كَمَا وَصَفَهُمُ اللَّهِ. And the mushrikun, the polytheists, came, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 10, إِذْ جَاءُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ. Such that they came towards you from above you and from beneath you, those who came. وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارِ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ. Such that the sights, because of the difficulty of that battle, seeing a great number against the Muslims coming towards them, says that the hearts reach the throats, and the eyes, زَغَتِ الْأَبْصَارِ, the eyes, because of that fear or that difficulty of the numbers, زَغَتِ الْأَبْصَارِ. وَمَكَثُ مُحَاصِرِينَ. Inshallah, if you can get me the Surah Al-Ahzab in English, Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 10. وَمَكَثُ مُحَاصِرِينَ الْمَدِينَ عِدَّةْ أَيَّامِ. So they came and they stayed 3 days, apparently, about 3 days, Sheikh Sa'di mentions, outside Medina. And they noticed there was a trench between them. And I'm going to go back to Bukhari here to mention the actual digging of the trench and the difficulties that the believers had at that time. Verse 10. Let's just give you the correct translation. When they came upon you from above you and from below you, and when the eyes grew wild and the hearts reached to the throats, and you were harboring doubts about Allah. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. Because they believed that this was maybe they were going to die because of the great numbers of the enemies coming towards them. هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. There the believers were tried, were tested, and shaken with a mighty shaking. وَإِذْ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. And when the hypocrites and those in their hearts is a disease, said, مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Allah and His Messenger, صلى الله عليه وسلم, promised us nothing but delusion. And so the hypocrites started spreading those doubts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if we go to Bukhari, we can actually see that it wasn't easy digging the trench. The hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went towards the khandaq, the trench, and saw the muhajireen and the ansar digging the trench in the cold morning. They had no servants to do that work for them. They did it themselves. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw their hardship and hunger, he supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, Allahumma innal aisha aisha al-akhirah. Innal aisha aisha al-akhirah. Indeed, the real life is the life of the hereafter. Faghfir lil ansar wal muhajira. So forgive the Ansar and the Muhajirin. And then they said in reply, the Ansar and the Muhajirun, whilst digging the trench, they said, مجيبين له, نحن الذين بايعوا محمدا. We are the ones who have given bay'ah to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. على الجهاد ما بقينا أبدا. عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَقَيْنَا أَبَدًا وَأَبَدًا. That we have given that pledge of allegiance to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to observe this jihad, or this striving to defend the Muslims and to defend Medina. Na'am, to defend the inhabitants of Medina, defend the deen of Allah as long as we live. And so they showed their firmness and they were patient. And there's a beautiful story from Jabir radiallahu anhu regarding the building of the Khandaq. or I should say the digging of the Khandaq, sorry. Jabir radiallahu anhu said, we were digging the trench on the day of Al-Khandaq, and we came across a big solid rock. No one could move it, nobody could break it. So we went to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, here is the rock appearing across the trench. He said, I am coming down. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went down and he saw this large boulder or large rock. Then he got up and a stone was tied to his belly. It was apparent that stone was tied to his belly because of hunger. For we had nothing to eat for 3 days. And this, subhanAllah, was a practice, not only the Prophet ﷺ, practiced by Abu Hurairah radhiallahu anhu and the companions. They were, because of extreme hunger, they would tie stones around their stomach. And this happened on different occasions. In another hadith in Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ went out. Before he went out, Abu Hurairah, he went out, radhiallahu anhu. And he went out to ask a question, but not intending the question, but intending to be invited for food. And he'd met Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And he asked the question, but Abu Bakr as-Siddiq didn't see in Abu Hurairah's face what the Prophet ﷺ saw. When the Prophet ﷺ saw Abu Hurairah, he said, I know why you have come out, because I have come out for the same reason. And so that is the famous hadith of the milk. When they went to one of the houses of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, and all they had was a bowl of milk. And from the miracles, the Prophet ﷺ, he said to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, go to call Ahl Suffa, your tribe, call them to also share with this milk. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, when he heard that, he thought, this milk is small, the bowl is small, I'm going to probably just suffice me and the Prophet ﷺ. But he carried out the command of Rasulullah ﷺ and went to his tribe and called them. And they were poor. They used to sleep in Masjid al-Nabawi. They were poor. And he was poor. And he was with the Messenger ﷺ. And he himself used to say, I was with the Messenger ﷺ ala shib'i batnin, upon whatever the Messenger ﷺ would eat. Yani upon hunger. Prophet ﷺ didn't have much. And he was upon that as well. Where the people were in the markets, he was with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, taken from the inheritance of the prophets, inheritance of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so they went and he called Ahl Suffa and they drank one by one. It wasn't only that, Abu Hurairah radhiallahu anhu was told by the Messenger to give the bowl to each one of Ahl Suffa. So not only has he has to call them, but he has to also serve them. And he's hungry. And he served each of them. And last, before the Messenger ﷺ, Abu Hurairah ﷺ said to him, drink. And he drank. He said, drink. And he drank. He drank until he said, La ajidu laha maslaka. I cannot find the space for it, O Messenger of Allah. And the last to drink was Rasulullah ﷺ. That was from the miracles of Rasulullah ﷺ. That a small bowl of milk, and look how much blessings it was. So in similar situation as the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and this is a situation where they heard 10,000 coming to attack Medina, and so not that much prepared, but they went out to the best of their ability, and they went out whilst in this hunger, a case of hunger, situation of hunger, and they went and they took the advice of Salman radiallahu anhu, and they dug the trench in the cold and in hunger. And when the Prophet ﷺ came down and he saw this rock, he took a spade and he struck the big solid rock and it became like sand. And that was a miracle. Nobody else could do that but the Messenger ﷺ. And he said, oh Messenger of Allah. Jabir said, when he looked at the Messenger ﷺ in his hunger, he said, oh Messenger of Allah, allow me to go home. He wanted to bring some food. Anything, whatever he could find to feed the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Notice, he didn't ask for himself. He was asking in order to feed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed me, he says, I said to my wife, I saw the Prophet ﷺ in a state that I cannot treat lightly. Have you got something for him to eat? She replied, I have barley and a she-goat. So I slaughtered the she-goat and she ground the barley. Then when we put the meat in the pot, the cooking pot, and cooked the food, I came to the Messenger ﷺ when the dough had become soft and fermented, and the meat in the pot over the stone was ready or nearly well cooked, and said, I have got a little food prepared. So get up, O Messenger of Allah, you or two men along with you for the food. The Prophet ﷺ asked, how much is that food? How much in terms of, would it be enough? I told him about it. He said, it is abundant and good. Tell your wife not to remove the cooking pot from the fire and not to take out any bread from the oven till I reach there. Then he said to the companions, get up, O Muhajirun. Get up, O Ansar. And he called the Muhajirun and the Ansar, all of the soldiers that were there, ready and hungry, 3 days of hunger. And when I came to my wife, I said, Jabir continued and said, when I came to my wife and said, Allah's Messenger, Allah's mercy be upon you. The Prophet ﷺ came along and he told his wife that they were going to come. That the Muhajirun and the Ansar, all of them will come. And they will eat from this. And of course she was surprised at how are they going to eat all of this food. And it's not much. Maybe 2 or 3 people would be sufficient for. And she said, did the Prophet ﷺ ask you how much food we had? He's going to call all of the Ansar and the Muhajirun. Did the Prophet ﷺ, does he know that we don't have much? So I replied, yes. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, enter. And the Prophet ﷺ started cutting the bread into pieces and put the cooked meat over it. He covered the pot and the oven whenever he took something out. So each time he covered it, it became full by the miracle of Allah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he blessed the Messenger ﷺ with this miracle. He would give the food to the companions, to the Muhajirun and to the Ansar, and take the meat out of the pot. And he continued cutting the bread and scooping the meat till they all ate their fill. And notice, he hasn't eaten, always leaving himself last, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Prophet ﷺ said to my wife, eat and present to others as the people are struck with hunger. He told them to eat. And the next narration mentions that which is similar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the family of Jabir radiallahu anhu. Blessed them. They wanted to do good deed. This is an afa'ida. That Jabir wanted to do a good deed. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased that deed for him. Increased that blessing. So be generous. The Prophet ﷺ was the most generous. كَانَ أَجْوَدَ النَّاسِ وَأَجْوَدَ مَا يَكُونُ فِي رَمَضَانِ. He was the most generous of people. And the most generous he was in Ramadan. Even more generous than any other time. So be generous. And feed the people with that which you have. Feed them. And subhanAllah, that will be a reward for you on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that will also be an increase in your risk. Because the guest, from the du'as, from the supplications that the guest says to the host, is Allahumma barik lahum fi ma razaqtahum, waghfir lahum warhamhum. Oh Allah, bless them in that which you have provided for them, and forgive them and have mercy of them. And the other du'a that we say for the host, aftara indakum as-sa'imun. May the fasting people eat at your house. وَأَكَلَ عَنْدَكُمُ الْأَبْرَارِ. And may the good people eat at your house. وَصَلَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And may the angels send their salah, their du'as upon you. So this narration is a beautiful narration. It reminded me of the other narration of Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the good that Jabir radhiyallahu anhu did. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aided the believers to be prepared in the Ghazwat al-Khandaq. And that is the battle of the trench. So when they gathered, Shaykh al-Sa'di rahmullah continues, وَمَكَثُ مُحَاصَرِينَ الْمَدِينَةِ عِدَّةِ أَيَّامِ وَحَالَ الْخَنْدَقْ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ إِسْتِضَامِ الْجُيُوشِ. So the khandaq, the trench, was like a barrier between the polytheists and the believers from being attacked. وَحَصَلَ مُنَوَشَاتْ يَسِيرًا. There was some few scuffles that occurred between the two armies. وَسَبَبَ اللَّهُ عِدَّةَ أَسْبَابٍ لِنْخِدَالِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ ثُمَّ انْشَمَرُوا إِلَى دِيَارِهِمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed or willed there were certain situations that occurred such that it would be difficult for the polytheists to attack the believers. And so they went home. They went back home without any victory. تَفَرَّغَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِبَنِي قُرَيْضَةِ. Then after that, the Prophet ﷺ, when he went back home, he was about to take off his armor, and Jibreel ﷺ appeared and said to him, "You're going to take off your armor. We angels did not take off our armor." So the angels were ready to fight and defend the Messenger ﷺ and the Sahaba ﷺ in the battle of the trench. And that story is the story of Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, which mentions the story of Banu Qurayza. Sa'ad, as Aisha radiallahu anhu narrated, Sa'ad was wounded on the day of Khandaq when a man from the Quraysh called Hiban ibn Araqa hit him with an arrow. The man was Hiban ibn Qais from the tribe of Bani Ma'is ibn Amir ibn Lu'ay, who shot an arrow at Sa'ad's medial arm vein or main artery of the arm. And the Prophet ﷺ pitched a tent for Sa'ad in the mosque so that he might be near to the Prophet ﷺ to visit. When the Prophet ﷺ returned from the battle of Khandaq and laid down his arms and took a bath, Jibreel ﷺ came to him while he, Jibreel, was shaking the dust off his head and said, "You have laid down the arms. By Allah, I have not laid down the arms. Go out to them to attack them," meaning Bani Qurayza. Because Bani Qurayza, they were supposed to stick to their treaty with the Muslims of Medina to defend Medina. But when they noticed that Ahl Najd are coming and Al Hijaz, they all gathered with their thousands of soldiers, they joined in with them against the Prophet ﷺ. So Jibreel alayhi salam commanded the Prophet ﷺ to not to take off the armor and go and fight Bani Qurayza. And he did, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But he warned not to kill the women and not to kill children. He warned that not to kill women and not to kill children. This is not the case of the battles and the wars that you see in the present day. Whether it is the Hiroshima bomb, whether it is the nuclear bomb, they kill everybody. How many were killed in Hiroshima? And how many were killed in the Second World War, in the First World War? Women, children. And they talk about Muslims being barbaric. Muslims are the most just people on the earth. Where we do, even in a battle, a legitimate battle, we're not talking about fighting in the streets of London, a'udhu billah. That's Allah. We seek refuge with Allah from ignorance of the khawarij, of the those renegades who cause more harm than good, killing indiscriminately women, children. This is not Islam. Islam, alhamdulillah, is justice and is mercy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, "Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan." Allah commands with justice and righteousness. It's not from righteousness, it's not from justice to kill women and children in a battle, in a battlefield, let alone outside a battlefield. So alhamdulillah, and this hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned the story of Sa'ad radiallahu anha and the story of Khandaq clearly proves, and the other battles as well clearly prove, the Prophet ﷺ forbade the killing of women and children and the old, and likewise those in their monasteries, whether they're Christians or Jews in their monasteries, priests who have nothing to do with any battle, or even those messengers who used to come and give messages from the other opponents. The Prophet ﷺ, he warned against that. Allah subhanahu revealed the verse in Surah Al-Ahzab regarding this battle. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. All you who believe, remember the favors of Allah upon you. إِذْ جَاءَتْكُمْ جُنُودٌ فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا. Such that an army came towards you to defeat you, and we sent upon them a severe wind. وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. And we sent upon them soldiers you did not even see. And those soldiers referring to angels. They came, and they came to defend the Rasul ﷺ and the Sahaba. And in the other verse, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we'll mention all of those verses, because from verse 9 to verse 27 of Surah Al-Ahzab, and it's beautiful to mention the whole story, from 9 to 27. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ. So remember the favors of Allah upon you. إِذْ جَاءَتْكُمْ جُنُودٌ فَأَرْسَلْنَا. إِذْ جَاءَتْكُمْ جُنُودٌ فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا. Oh, you who believe, remember Allah's favor to you. When they came against you, an army, and we sent against them a wind and forces that you saw not, troops of angels during the battle of the Ahzab. And this was another name that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to this battle, and that is the battle of the Ahzab, the battle of the trench, which was the battle where all the Ahzab gathered together, all the parties or confederates, they gathered together. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever seer of what you do. إِذْ جَاءُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ وَإِذْ زَغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرُ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. When they came upon you, from above you and from below you, and when the eyes grew wild, and the hearts reached to the throats, and you were harboring doubts about Allah. هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. There the believers were tried and tested and shaken with a mighty shaking. وَإِذْ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. And when the hypocrites and those in whose hearts is a disease of doubts said, Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم promised us nothing but delusion. وَإِذْ قَالَتْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَا أَهْلَ يَثْرِبَ لَا مُقَامَ لَكُمْ فَارْجِعُوا وَيَسْتَأْذِنُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمُ النَّبِيَّ وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّ بُيُوتَنَا عَوْرَةٌ وَمَا هِيَ بِعَوْرَةٌ إِن يُرِيدُونَ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. And when a party of them said, O people of Yathrib, O people of Medina, there is no stand possible for you against the enemy's attack. I mean, you're not able to, there's 10,000 of them, you're not able to repel them. Therefore, go back. So there was a party who were trying to cause doubts, and they were the hypocrites, tried to cause doubts. And a band of them asked for the permission of Prophet ﷺ, saying, truly our homes lie open to the enemy. And they used that as an excuse. And they lay not open, but they wished to flee. وَلَوْ دُخِلَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَقْطَارِهَا ثُمَّ سُئِلُوا الْفِتْنَةِ لَأَتَوْهَا وَمَا تَلَبَّثُوا بِهَا إِلَّا يَسِيرًا. And if the enemy had entered from all sides of the city, and they had been exhorted to this fitna or to this trial, they would surely have committed it and would have hesitated thereupon but little. The trial here meaning if they were told to go back to disbelief or to go to disbelief, they would have accepted that and gone to disbelief. وَلَقَدْ كَانُوا عَهَدُ اللَّهَ مِنْ قَبْلِ لَيُوَلُّونَ الْأَدْبَارَ وَكَانَ عَهْدُ اللَّهِ مَسْئُولًا. And indeed, they had already made a covenant with Allah not to turn their backs, and a covenant with Allah must be answered for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued to talk about the hypocrites. قُلْ لَنْ يَنْفَعُكُمُ الْفِرَارُ إِنْ فَرَرْتُمْ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ أَوِ الْقَتْلِ وَإِذًا لَا تُمَتَّعُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to them, to the hypocrites who ask you for permission to run away and to flee from you, flight or leaving will not help you if you flee from death or killing, and then you will enjoy no more than a little while. Meaning that eventually death will reach you, so even if you flee now, you will not be able to flee from fighting. And there were those who used to speak against the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this battle, speak against him and speak with their sharp tongues, as Allah mentioned. But in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that indeed in him is a beautiful example. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Indeed, in the Messenger of Allah, you have a beautiful example. Whoever meets, you have a beautiful example to follow him. Whoever hopes in the meeting with Allah on the last day and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defended the believers on this, in this battle, or the battle of the Khandaq, that actually didn't happen in its, as was intended by the polytheists. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aided the believers with angels, and the disbelievers went back khaibin. That was what happened in the 5th year Hijriyah. And the 6th year Hijriyah was the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out to do Umrah with his companions. And it was also called Umratul Hudaybiyah. And at that time, no one was stopped from going to the Baytil, the house of Allah, going into Mecca and to worship. But in this situation, the mushrikun, when they heard about the Prophet ﷺ coming out with his companions to do Umrah, then they were ready with their hamiyya, al-jahiliyyah, with their times of ignorance, their zeal of ignorance, and wanting to fight the Messenger ﷺ and the companions. They gathered in order to stop the Messenger ﷺ and his companions from doing the Umrah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed that no blood will be shed in Mecca, and He willed and He revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to have a peace treaty, and it was called the Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. Rather than do Umrah this year, it was agreed that you can do it the year after, but don't do it this year. And some of the companions were upset that they wanted to do the Umrah, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, na'am, from the revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, was not to commit it this year, not to fulfill it this year, but to fulfill it the year after, such that blood is not shed. And this is another proof to show the mercy of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the mercy of Islam, that blood is not shed without, just like that, yani with amongst innocents and so on. So even though the Muslims, they were upset, not fulfilling the Umrah, the Prophet ﷺ promised them with khair, promised them with that which is good. So he left and went back. فَرَجَعَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَامَهُ ذَلِكَ وَقَضَى هَذِهِ الْعُمْرَةِ فِي عَامِ السَّبْعِ. And he fulfilled this Umrah on the 7th year of the Hijrah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this as being a victory for the believers. إِنَّ فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. And revealed the whole surah regarding this victory. Allah could mention it as being a victory, and his whole surah, Surah Al-Fath, as being a victory, because many became Muslim that day, at that time. Many. Fakana. And also, there was no bloodshed. There's a victory. There was no harm that was spilled, blood that was spilled. Fakana هذا الفتح لما فيه من الصلح الذي تمكن فيه المسلمون من الدعوة إلى الإسلام. So they, the Muslims, were able to give da'wah to Islam, and many people entered the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they saw much good that the believers were upon. Subhanallah, how can it not be when you see the Muslims and they're praying 5 times a day and they're doing wudu, cleanliness upon cleanliness, and they're worshipping Allah, and they don't have racism and nationalism. What is that moves them is La ilaha illallah. This is what makes them brothers together, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to be brothers. Kunu ibadallahi ikhwana, to be worshippers of Allah first, and brothers. And the believers are brothers, no doubt. Innamal mu'minuna ikhwa, fa aslihu bayna akhawaykum. Indeed, the Muslims are brothers to each other. And this is how the Muhajirun and the Ansar were. Brothers, marrying from each other. And they were, and the rest of the tribes that came, they entered into Islam with upon goodness and alhamdulillah upon much khair. And this brings us to the next part, which Shaykh As-Sa'di rahimahullah, he mentioned. Which is the 8th year of Hijriyah. The 8th year Hijriyah we mentioned was, as Shaykh Sa'di says, وَقَدْ نَقَدَتْ قُرَيْشْ الْعَهْدَ الَّذِي بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ غَزَى مَكَّةَ فِي جُنْدٍ كَثِيرٍ. So the 8th year Hijriyah, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came in to Mecca, and the Quraysh promised them that they can do Umrah. But they didn't want the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم to do Umrah, but the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came in with large amount of companions with him, over 10,000. فَدَخَلَ, and he entered Mecca. فَدَخَلَهَا فَاتِحًا لَهَا, opening it, meaning allowing the Muslims to perform their Umrah and allowing the Muslims, na'am, to practice their faith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him blessing of that victory on the 8th year of the Hijrah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed Surah At-Tawbah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed other verses. And all of those verses show us that the Prophet ﷺ was commanded to be humble. When he entered, even in the narration of Bukhari, when he entered Mecca, the 8th year of Hijriyah, Aam al-Fath, he entered and his head was lowered. And the scholars, they mentioned his head was lowered, he was humble. He didn't enter feeling proud, feeling that yes, we have been given victory and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for us this, the this large numbers of followers and the victory and aid. He didn't enter like that. He entered still as a humble worshipper, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And those that had fought against him, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he freed them. He didn't kill them. He freed them and said, "Antum at-tulaqa." This was the mercy of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there was another story, if I can find it, inshallah, from Jabir radhiyallahu anhu. But generally, that was the Aam al-Fath. Before that, prior to that, there was a story that we're going to read, inshallah. I'll leave it till tomorrow because it's a long story. And that is the story of the ifk, or the slander against Aisha radhiyallahu anha. We'll read that tomorrow because it's a long story and we won't be able to finish it today. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and aid us and forgive us our shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us good in this life and good in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid us in all that is good. May our actions be better than our speech. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. At what age should one make a daughter wear the jilbab or the hijab to pray? As for the prayer, then the Prophet ﷺ already told us and advised us to teach our children at 7 and discipline them at 10. Teach the prayer at 7. And many scholars, they mention that age of 7 is the age of teaching, the age of education. So even Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi, he mentions, one of the scholars of Medina, he mentions that as for your children, prior to the age of 7, shouldn't be a regular thing. You bring your children, they could urinate in the mosque, they could before 7, because they don't have those faculties to know what they're doing, as what's right and what's wrong. So before 7, he said it's better not to bring the children to the masjid, but bring them after at 7. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, teach them at 7. So before 7, you should be playing with them. And this, there are many stories from the Salaf as well, that they used to play with their children. And there was one that Sheikh Abdul Razak mentioned about one of the Salaf, or one of the Salaf scholars of the past, that he saw his daughter playing, and she was playing with, she's just making it up, like, drink tea. Would you like to drink tea as well, And they do that now and then. Would you? Don't leave them and shun them. Drink tea with them. Even there's no tea in there, in the cup that they offer you. So play with the children up to the age of 7. At the age of 7, teach them. Teach them the prayers. But don't make it incumbent upon them. Don't force them. Don't hit them. As for when they reach the age of 10, then that is the age that you discipline them. Not a discipline that hurts. Not like the beating that you find in some of the imams in the mosques. A'udhu billah, some of them with sticks and they're beating the kids. And I hear stories of those who have grown up and they say that they don't go to the mosque because of bad experience that they had with some of the beatings of those imams. May Allah guide them. Because of a mistake in the recitation. And maybe they'll say to them, this is a hitting from Jannah, and they give him a big whip. This is not the way. Rather, educate them, make them love the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, in this masjid, we don't do that. We have 160 children, boys and girls, they're learning the Quran and learning Islam, alhamdulillah, and they don't get beaten up. Rather, we give them sweets, we give them Eid gifts when the Eid comes, alhamdulillah, we encourage them. And this is the way of Islam, mercy and kindness. We do not have authority to hit them. The parents, they are the ones who have authority to do that. But when the children reach the age of 15, 16, 15 in particular, because that's the age, usually the age of puberty, then the angels start writing down everything that they do. So at that age, they must be praying. And at 10 years old, you should discipline them to pray. And maybe they miss one or two, but you discipline them to pray. So that when they get to 15, they are ready and they are prepared. SubhanAllah, if you're not used to doing your prayers five times a day, you get to your teenage years, it's like a mountain to climb. So that, if you teach your children, Sheikh Muhammad says that if you teach your children at a young age, then it becomes easy for them later in their life. And the hijab likewise, teach them at a young age, show them, and they will resemble what their parents do. They will imitate what their parents do. So if the mother is wearing hijab and so on, especially the jilbab and for the prayer, for example, and outside the house, alhamdulillah, you will find them that they also will imitate. So teach them at a young age to love the hijab, no doubt. This is an honor for the woman to wear the hijab. Wallahi, it's an honor that she goes out modestly, dressing modestly. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah mentions that such that she is not harmed. Such that she is not harmed. So the hijab is a protection. The hijab is a protection and an aid. Prophet ﷺ mentioned about the woman that goes out. Every time a woman goes out of the house, stashrafaha shaytan. Shaytan, he beautifies her for the people, for the men, to allure them and so on and so forth. So the hijab is a modesty for the woman. And na'am. And even the men should also be modest when they dress. And so on and so forth. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who teach our children to love this deen. Love that which Allah and His Messenger have commanded us to be upon. May Allah forgive us our shortcomings. والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على خير خلق محمد وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. So tomorrow inshallah we'll cover the story of the ifq, and then we'll cover the 9th year Hijriya and the 10th year Hijriya inshallah.